Leviticus 25, verse number 10, says, "Proclaim liberty throughout all the land and to all the inhabitants thereof." This is Pastor Wynn Greer from the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina. And we want to welcome you today to the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast. This is a ministry of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. We always take just a few moments and let you know about the church and maybe some of the different ministries that we have. If you're in the listening area, we'd love for you to come by and visit with us. You can learn more online, our church website, mountlebanonbc.org, and that's our website. We're located just a few miles outside of Boone, and so we'd love for you to come by. Sunday school, 10 a.m. for all ages, 11 a.m. Also, our Sunday morning preaching service starts, so we wanted to let you know about that. It's good to see Noah in the studio today. How's your day so far?
Doing well. I'm glad to be here. It feels like I haven't been for a while, but I am glad to be back. And we do want to say welcome to those who are listening in right here on AM 1450 WATA, those who listen in on AM 690 WZAP out of Bristol, Virginia, and those who listen in on 89.1 KPGT out of Watertown, South Dakota.
We do appreciate all of our listeners, and the radio station in South Dakota, 89.1 FM, The Truth, or and I forgot the call letters, you just say KPGT. Brother Lamar Whittemore is going to be with us this coming Sunday morning, so we're looking forward to that. And he is the pastor of the church there in Watertown, South Dakota, and visiting back in Tennessee, North Carolina for just a few days. So we're looking forward to that and having Brother Whittemore this coming Sunday morning. Well, we are doing a series on the subject of heroes of prayer. Heroes of prayer. And 1 week will be in the Bible. 1 week we'll take an example out of history. And we've been doing that back and forth now for several months. And today we're going to go back to the Bible and get an example from there. One of the great heroes of the Bible. We could call him the patriot prophet. Elijah is who we're going to be looking at today. The prophet Elijah. And I say that he was a patriot prophet because Elijah was for Israel. He was for his people first and foremost. He was for God's people. And he was not afraid to stand against that which was wrong. And we find that in his ministry. We find that when we read about him, he was not afraid of standing up even against the king. His ministry took place during the reign of two of the most wicked people that we read about in the Bible. We read about Ahab and Jezebel in the Bible as well. And his ministry was right along the same time that they were in reigning together. And so we find them crossing paths many times. And really, it's some very interesting reading in the Bible. Today, we're going to look at 1 Kings chapter number 18. And this is also leading into next week. Now, Elijah, his prayer life, we not only find it in the Old Testament, but we find it in the New Testament as well. We find it in James chapter number 5. And when you think about Elijah, you think about, wow, you read in the Bible about him. He's one of the Bible's superheroes. But in James chapter number 5, it talks about his ministry, and it also says about that he was a man subject to like passions as we are. And so what that tells us, what we learn from studying these great heroes in the Bible is that you think about Elijah and how he prayed, and we might say, wow, that's amazing. But he was a man just like we are. And in that same passage of Scripture, it says the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So we're leading into next week what we're going to be looking at. But first we're going to look at his prayer life. We're going to take an example from 1 Kings chapter number 18. And what we find in 1 Kings chapter number 18, we find that Elijah challenges the prophets of Baal. You may remember this from Sunday school. when you were growing up, going and learning about Elijah, and you've heard about the prophets of Baal. Actually, what they have in 1 Kings chapter number 18, they have a praying contest to see who the true God really was and who, which God would answer by fire. Elijah prayed to Jehovah God, the God of the Bible, the prophets of Baal. Of course, they prayed and called out to Baal. And the challenge was, who would answer by fire? 1 Kings chapter 18, verse number 24. And call ye on the name of your gods. This was Elijah talking to the prophets of Baal. Call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord, capital L-O-R-D. And when you see that in the Bible, that is a reference that's talking about Jehovah God, the self-existent God, God that has existed for all of eternity, always has been and always will be. That is always a reference to Jehovah God. And so Elijah said, I'll call on the name of the Lord, and the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. And so everybody likes to see a contest. And Elijah proposed a contest between the prophets of Baal and their gods and the Lord, his God. And he said, the God that answers by fire, let him be God. Now, something about the setting or the history, the context of this passage of Scripture, and we might say, well, what has that got to do with today? Well, Baal worship had become the state religion. And Baal worship, being what it was, being endorsed and sanctioned by the king and queen, it was actually no religion. There was no morality involved in Baal worship. There was no righteousness involved in Baal worship. This came about in the nation of Israel through the influence of Jezebel. Jezebel, the very last of her name, gives a hint to the way that she was raised. She was a worshiper of Baal. Her family was a worshiper of Baal. That's where she come from. And so through her influence, the nation of Israel had been drawn away from the true worship of Jehovah God, and now they were worshiping the gods of Baal. And so there was no morality. There was no righteousness in Baal worship. Baal worship was very ungodly, very wicked. They sacrificed their babies to Baal. They would go out and they would literally take an image of Baal and a statue, and they would build a fire underneath, and the image would become red hot, and it was sitting there, and it had its arms held out, and they would take newborn babies and they would lay them in the arms of Baal, and they would sacrifice their babies, sacrifice their children to Baal. And we could make a correspondence, we could make a comparison there between America and what goes on in abortion and things like that. And so, but this had become the state religion. The prophets of Baal, they prayed, they cried aloud, they cut themselves, they jumped, they leaped, trying to get Baal to answer by fire. It would look like a drug-laden, free-for-all rock concert if you could have been there and seen what was going on. And it says in 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 26, and they took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it, and called on the name of Baal from morning even until noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, nor any that answered, and they leaped upon the altar which was made. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is talking, or he is pursuing, or he is in a journey, or peradventure he sleepeth and must be awaked. And they cried aloud and cut themselves after their manner with knives and lancets till the blood gushed out upon them. Can you imagine seeing something like that? Here's these prophets of Baal, and they're trying to call out to their god and get him to answer and send a fire and devour the sacrifice. And they leaped and they cried aloud and they cut themselves the Bible says, until the blood gushed out. What a horrific scene that would be to witness. And verse 29 said, and it came to pass when midday was past, and they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that there was neither voice nor any to answer, nor any that regarded. And so for hours on end, they prayed, what they called praying. They called upon Baal, and all to no avail. Now, we're going to look at Elijah's prayer and Elijah's answer to prayer. Elijah was not afraid of a challenge. And so he had challenged them to see which God would answer by fire. And then when it come his turn, he made it even harder. You talk about a good challenge. It said in verse 33, and he put, this is talking about Elijah now, he put the wood in order and cut the bullock in pieces and laid him on the wood and said, fill four barrels with water and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. And he said, do it the second time. And they did it the second time. And he said, do it the third time. And they did it the third time. And the water ran round about the altar, and he filled the trench also with water. And so he put his sacrifice on the altar and poured so much water on it that it ran through the troughs that was around the bottom of the altar. Now, we see his prayer in verses 36 and verse number 37. And there's just 63 words here, but we're going to notice something about his prayer life. Now, it said in verse 36, and it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, and here is his prayer. He said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel. The first thing I want to point out about Elijah's prayer is this. He said, let it be known that thou art God in Israel. Now, the nation of Israel, if you know anything about the history of the nation of Israel, sometimes they would follow the Lord, and then they would backslide away from that. They would go away, and they'd get caught up in idol worship. They'd get caught up in wanting to be like the other nations, and they would forsake the God that had blessed them and kept them and delivered them out of Egypt and redeemed them out of Egypt and guided them through the wilderness and provided for them and given them victory in battle and given them a new land to live in and blessed them and prospered them. And they would forget all about the Lord. And that is what had happened in Elijah's day. The nation of Israel, the people of Israel, they had forgotten who the true God was. And I would say this today, we have the same problem in America. A lot of places, not everywhere, but a lot of places, we've forgotten about the God that has blessed us and caused us to be a nation. You know, our money, if you have a piece of money in your pocket, it says, in God we trust on it. There's a reason why our money says, in God we trust. If you study about our nation's history, once upon a time, it would have been very common to go into a courthouse and see the Ten Commandments placed there in a prominent place for the justice of the peace, for all the people coming and doing their business, for the judges, for the lawyers, for the people to see as they come in and out and would conduct their business in the county of their residence. They would see that the Ten Commandments were there and displayed. You would have found it in schools. You would have found prayer. You would have found Bible reading in school. This would not have alarmed anybody. It was promoted. It was saw. It was viewed as a good thing that we acknowledged God. And God was, he was acknowledged in our history and referenced to over and over and over again in our history books. In fact, if you know anything about the history of America and look at it honestly, you'll see that the handprint of God is upon page after page after page. Our nation has gone to war, and mamas have prayed, and grandparents, and churches, and I mean just on and on and on we could go with references to God in our history. But now, just like the children of Israel, a lot of people, they'd like to forget about all that. And the new state religion. See, when you do away with the God of the Bible, you have no religion. And that's what we have. We have no religion. And when you have no religion, you have no morality. You have no guidance. You have what they had once upon a time in the book of Judges. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. When we don't acknowledge God, then man becomes God into himself. It's a very dangerous place to be in as a nation, but that's where we are in America today. And when you have no religion at all, you have a very debased society, and you have no standard of righteousness. That's how Baal worship was. The Bible says in Psalms 9 and verse number 17, it says, "The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God." And as I look today, as I read the newspaper, as I hear the news and see what's going on, I think to myself, I wonder, have we as a nation forgotten God? And God has blessed us so much in the past. So there's where they were. That's where we are. We need some Elijahs that'll stand up and remind the people, "Thou art God in America." So that's the first thing he prayed. He prayed, "Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel." That's the first part of his prayer. Then there's a comma, and he says something else. He says, "And that I am thy servant." And that I am thy servant. Now, when we read in the Bible about the prophets of Baal, the prophets of Baal were not prophets at all. In fact, what the prophets of Baal actually were, they were yes men. In fact, we could go so far as to say they were government yes men. You never find in all the Bible the prophets of Baal or the false prophets. You never find them contradicting the king. They always go along with the king. They always go along with that which is against God. And we find here, even in 1 Kings chapter number 18, a little bit before this, that it was talking about the prophets of Baal. And it says in Proverbs, 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 19, Elijah said, "Now therefore send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal, 450, and the prophets of the groves, 400, which eat at Jezebel's table." And so these men were supported by, they were paid by Jezebel. She was the one supporting them. They ate at Jezebel's table. And so they never contradicted. They never said, "King, that's not right. Queen, that's not right." Now, let me make an application there to what's going on in America today. There's a great many out here that under a name of religion of some kind, a lot of reverends, ministers, so-called pastors out here all throughout our land today. But when you look at them and you look at Hollywood, for example, or you look at politicians in general or something coming out of Washington, D.C., you'll find that there is no difference. They can stand together. They can lock arms together. And the one will never criticize or stand up against the other. False prophets. Now, Elijah, on the other hand, he was on no one's payroll except the Lord's payroll. He was for nobody but for Israel and for the true God of Israel. And here's something that I love when I study about Elijah. When we find Elijah, we find him in opposition to Ahab. Ahab was wicked. Ahab and Jezebel were ungodly. And when you find the two, you find there's going to be a controversy. You find there's going to be a contradiction. Just let me read a couple of verses out of chapter 18. I'm going to read verse 17 and 18. I get a chuckle out of this. It said in verse 17, "And it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto him, Art thou he that troubleth Israel?" Now, there was a famine that was going on in the land. and Ahab and Elijah hadn't seen each other for a long time. And when they finally meet, the first thing Ahab does, he accuses Elijah, and he says, "Art thou he that troubleth Israel?" He said, "Preacher, this is all your fault. We're blaming this all on you." But look what verse 18 says. "And he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam," or the god Baal, the false god. So Ahab seen Elijah, and he said, "This is all your fault. All this trouble is because of you." And when Elijah saw Ahab, he said, "It's not my fault, it's your fault. And it's your fault because you've forsaken the commandments of the Lord and you've gone to follow Balaam." And so how do you recognize a true prophet, a true person of God, a true pastor? Well, they're not going to be in cahoots with those that are against God and his word. And so Elijah, he's a true prophet of God. Once upon a time in America, and I go back to our history and I think about this, once upon a time, it mattered what the Bible said. Once upon a time, it mattered what the preacher said on Sunday morning. It was encouraged to go to church. It was encouraged to listen to the Word of God being preached. When it was considered by those that were in leadership. I found this quotation by John Adams. John Adams, the second president of the United States. Listen what he had to say about the clergy. He said, "It is the duty of the clergy to accommodate their discourses in the times, to preach against such sins as are most prevalent, and recommend such virtues as are most wanted." Can you imagine? Second president of the United States, he said, it's the duty of the clergy to preach against the prevalent sins and to recommend to us what to do about it. Boy, today, that's the thing that is least listened to, what the preacher, what the pastor, what the Bible has to say. But I say this again, once upon a time in America, it was encouraged, it was considered, it was put in a prominent place, what thus saith the Lord. We've gone a long ways from where we used to be in America. So Elijah, when he prayed, he said that all Israel would know that thou art God in Israel. And he said that I am thy servant. Then he said this in verse number 36. He said also that thou art God in Israel, that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Now, all these things at thy word was to challenge the prophets of Baal. And so he had done that at the word of the Lord. And he prayed, and God answered his prayer. What a blessing that is. When he prayed, God answered his prayer. Now, I don't want to run out of time before I read this, but I want to read on down how God answered his prayer. You remember they'd put the bullock out there. They'd laid it upon the altar. Then they poured water upon the altar so much that it ran out the bottom of the altar and overflowed the troughs. They'd made like a little trough around the bottom. So they'd put all this water on the sacrifice. And the Bible said in verse 38, "Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice, and the wood, and the stones, and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces, and they said, The Lord, He is the God. The Lord, He is the God." And so Elijah prayed, and God answered his prayer by fire. And so he said, "I did this at thy word." When we pray, we need to pray according to the word of the Lord. And there's a great lesson in that as well. But I've got to hurry on. My time is just about gone. Now, there's another thing in his prayer. Going down to verse 37, he said this, "Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God." So he prayed that this people may know that thou art the Lord God. And as I thought about this and studied about this, I thought about the question, is the church today doing anything that this people may know? I'm afraid that many times in many churches, we have lost our prayer power, and people don't know. They don't know. One church, one religion seems just about the same and just about as good as the other. And you know whose fault that is? That's not the world's fault. That's the church's fault. That's the people of God's fault, that we can't pray and say, you know, we're going to pray and God's going to answer this prayer, that people may know that thou art the Lord God. We've lost our power through fellowship, interaction with the world and the things of the world, and we've lost our difference, and one seems just about as good as the other. Well, that's the people of God's fault. But Elijah prayed that this people may know. And that is our prayer as well, that this people may know that thou art the Lord. And then there's one last thing we'll show you before time gets gone today. He said in verse number 37, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. That thou hast turned their heart back again. So what happened in 1 Kings chapter number 18 when the old prophet came and prayed and God answered by fire, the people's heart was turned back to God. And that's what we talk about when we talk about having revival. Revival means to come to life again. And the Lord has sent revival in our nation several different times down through our history when it looked like all was lost. But the Lord sent a revival. The Lord turned the heart of His people back again. Now that's what we need. Now whether we will have it or not remains to be seen. But that is what we need. And so Elijah came, Elijah prayed, and God answered by fire. And there was a revival among God's people. It said in verse number 39, I've already read that, but I'm going to read it again. It said, and when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces, and they said, the Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is the God. And so there was a turning back. There was an acknowledging of the true God of Israel. And as I close today, I think about the question. I think about, where are the people? Where are the preachers? Where are the churches in our day that can really pray, that can get a hold of God and bring answers down from heaven? I've pastored now for 25 plus years, and I've heard a lot of testimonies down through the years. Somebody, they may not go to church, they may not show any interest whatsoever, but they'll say, you know, my grandpa, my grandma, boy, she really knew God. Boy, she could pray. When she prayed, we knew that the Lord was going to answer by prayer. Where's the people like that? We need some Elijahs once again. Prayer is our hope in America today, turning back to the Lord. Well, we see that our time is quickly coming gone. Next week, we're going to look at George Washington, and I'm looking forward to that. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Noah's going to come. Give the contact information.
You've been listening to Blessings of Liberty, brought to you by Pastor Wayne Greer, the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. It's located in Vilas, North Carolina. If you'd like to contact us, you can reach us through our church phone number at 828-963-4596. That's 828-963-4596. Or you can reach us through our church website at mountlebanonbc.org. That's MTLEBANONBC.org.